price that they can come out on their overhead.
The market in lumber's just shot.
A lot of it's falling out of its lowest bid since, I think, back in the Depression. And started off from the highest it's ever been in our history, about a negro. And this week later, it was one half that price. And I, myself, I think it's perhaps the beginning of the Depression when we have priced all the small contractors and small construction out of the market with a tight money situation. And with all the long way up here for these tall who are operating up here in the street. But at least we have had this tremendous great visibility of operating without having to put money into heavy equipment for the road. Our road arrangement, for those of you who haven't known about it before, is Gino run under the Forestry Service. They own the highway, but we are responsible to maintain it. And we share this with the other users. The resort comes out easiest down this. They have only equipment on it. They have several cars and a truck that operate the service. And though they've been fairly busy this year, isn't enough to keep them out of the red in our resort operation. They are responsible for maintaining only the area of the switchback. But that 3 miles down, they're supposed to have cleared out and so on. Actually, the way it's worked out, we've had free help, and we keep the road free of any kinds of debris that come down off the hill. And the work on the shoulders has been minimal. We haven't required it because none of the underbrush has gone up since we cleared out about 4 or 5 years ago. Job on the way back. That is one job we did with kids on the way back. It was the first time we didn't clear back farm, so the next year we cleared quite a ways back. He hasn't come back since then. But the road, which you can see when you come up, like it's a noticeable difference from Ornac on Thursday to town on Monday. This road got better. And he said, we just passed the logging operation, which I wasn't aware of doing. And of course, then you don't have that. This is a washboard anymore. But Ed Hinder arrives at the equipment up there. He maintains the road, and it's another grand friend of the village, and keeps plugging for us all the time, helps unload stuff when he's down there. Brought up this huge load of logs out here for firewood from old stuff that's no good for lumber. This has been typical of our relationship with those in the area. It's been very warm. So we're grateful for that. But we will need some road equipment, and I just told Werner now to locate some of our men who look for this type of thing for us to go and buy it whenever they wish in consultation with each other, whatever price they have to pay. We're not wondering about setting that. No, it doesn't so much money, but these two fellows both know what they're doing. One maintains a large logging operation, about 30 times the size of this one down the road over in Idaho, and another has a large ranch operation with his father, and they both know machinery, so whatever we need for maintaining the road, we're going to have to get. And then we have the problem, of course, of not only that road, and as far as maintaining is concerned, but this dust situation within the village. The board has not been too sympathetic here. They don't have to live here, for one thing. And they have been here when the winds have been worse. This is the first summer it's been a real problem. And it puts me in embarrassment because they think the only reason I'm concerned about it is because we have a dust problem for my wife. And that'd be fine if that were so. I'd be very happy. But you can just look at us playing volleyball out here and look at the unconscious reactions of people that are going like this while they're playing volleyball. And they'll talk about us as they said, mean that, wow, I can taste the dust in my teeth as I'm eating, you know. And it is too bad to have a retreat center that has this kind of a problem. And I'm sorry the board doesn't see it because they don't. But we would put it into a 10th anniversary deal to the total, do something on this. We think maybe the simplest one you and I to do would be to have an underground sprinkling system that could go on every so often and sprinkle the roads entirely, and then you just got it licked and just put it on. You'll notice how we have licked as far as the entryway is concerned. We have somebody out there wetting the entryway to the dining hall area and behind the kitchen before the major meal times during the day. In the morning, the dew helps keep it down, you know, before breakfast. We do it lightly before lunch and supper, and that's helped a great deal. I used to sleep out occasionally, and get actually a tail of dirt from the whole dining hall, a half from each side after every meal. Now that isn't too well. This was fun last night. I just abandoned the apartment. There's hardly anything wrong. But dust has been a problem because John and I talked about our local forester. This is the first summer we've had dust inside their village. And he swirled. A little tornado. So we've always been saying this place has become unlivable. Always a little bit of a number that come up the road and see it coming. Before you, and then they blow the tailings down this way. You know, should hope with our anchor on these larger areas in our capital funds expenditure, we should set it at a price that we can be reciting. The board, I'll have to sit down with the advice of others when they finally do this, but it does mean that we can't set up kind of a fund, because the board has an allocated rating of funds. And the ALC in this North Pacific District has allocated our going into the Perry's Interim Fund. So these two sides of our operation are now safe for us, as we can go directly to the congregation and ask for permission to go into congregation for funds. That would be a courteous thing, because the rules of the Senate forbid it, but the district has elected to go against the rule of the Senate in the case of Forest Village, we would think. But so Lily and I, Bob Lily, we have some welfare, and are fighting a trip to November just to talk with representatives, we hope one representative from each congregation. Washington, where Lily operates, going down here to Tacoma area, because they've got their welfare operation. But Lily is interested on the needs of welfare and the Forest Village, that we can use this opportunity to sell both, but that's it. Two of us joined together, people come out with better. Last time we did it, we had, in every place, we had every congregation participating, and that's helpful. We'll begin, we'll get down the canal, we'll get down the Tri-Cities, we'll get out, we'll get the whole area. And we're planning to do that through the November. I've just been letting his secretary set it up, so that I'm sure it's going to be true. But a pledge system, we did use a kind of partial type before I came into the picture. We never followed up on any, there's never been any question or questioning any of it. The number of pledges that were unfulfilled were fantastically high in a few sectors, unexpectedly, I would say. But when I have visited a little with some of these people, they have readily decided to come along again and give something to the village. They felt they were put under some pressure by a particular person, can't perceive that. And the only way they could get rid of whoever it was to say, okay, and then forget about it. And that is to put, of course, over the long pole, which has to be the cheerful truth of it. And that we have enough constituency now to see, I think. But now you want to ask any questions about any of our operation, what we're doing, and so on, you're most welcome. I'm just up there answering Rosemary's, who's picked up a lot of the scuttlebutt from the summer, some of which I just got myself a week ago. But we're glad to answer any questions on anything, any kind, that you want to be. The only pot I know of here has been in the pottery, and when they speak about throwing pot down there, there might have been some, I know of none, but it is a civilization in which a great number, according to Time Magazine, 90% of your young adult world today is using marijuana. Well, that's true. I presume some of them might get in up here too, but we see them in the world. And those who claim that they're flying up here, I think they're mistaken. These little brown paper cigarettes that people roll for that, which, you know, something worth it to you. I don't think that's what they mean by pot, is it? Have you seen those brown paper cigarettes they have here? They're sugar or something.
Just to steal a little bit of the ocean days when we got
there. Yeah, this is right. Put it up in my room at the center because I didn't smoke. You know, I didn't smoke. Both my parents started smoking that time. I smoked it. I promised my dad I'd wait till I was 30, so I waited till I was 30. Well, there has been a good deal of goodwill from many, many areas expressed in the 8 years of operation. We've had one area of continuous friction. And we really want to see the village grow. And I think we have really been sorry that we've been sort of caught in this kind of a role. But some of them, representing them, at least we have this afternoon, we can talk and they can bring up whatever they don't have. But the high school age group and its participation here, I think, was a major concern at the beginning of these men. They thought of it as a place for high school kids to come, really. And of course, it just isn't. I mean, you're going to bring them someplace, here it would be a constant him is evidently that really fodder. Well, that catches. That's something. If Christ doesn't put us under a bunch of rules to keep us in order, that he gives us himself. And as you noticed in that little poem last night, it quoted the famous saying of Augustine, which nobody to my knowledge has quoted this whole summer, and I was anxious knowing if the fellow even knows that it was Augustine's to begin with. I have a hunch he didn't, but he just in this poem put in, love God and do what you please. If you love God, you're going to do what pleases him. The one group which causes the physical damage, or the group which was a little bit younger, was mixed racially. It had a large contingent which was involved in street riots of that street city in 1974. And I go back down with a boat after we left here. They had something that looked like it was much. They kind of quieted down a little bit and started shooting each other in the comfortable car. I think that we always need blacks in here. I'm sorry they aren't in any greater number. It's hard to get them to come as far as paying their way because we're such a majority white thing. And I realize that this is one reason the youth departments are not no longer putting money into it. One reason I have to get the money from the churches. I tease them about it. The sentence I have a letter of East Rory LC where I can. I can't read the others. If I find a suicide note on me, will pin to my shirt, and they'll find me in the inner city, and I'll be painted black, and then a suicide note will say, I had no church which cared for my soul because I wasn't black and didn't live in the inner city. If that's really where all the money's going today. And it's, I think we've gone the other extreme where we didn't recognize it at all before today. That's all we recognize. You know? Mm-hmm. It's a difficult thing to maintain. Balancing. And that's one reason for the withdrawal from us, is because they've been very missed with me, very proud that I haven't been able to attract more blacks here. We do have them on our fact, and we have Willie this summer, who is a good chef. And we have one amongst our workers, Jim, who's Ralph's brother, who is by adoption, who's up here right now, just working with Dr. Ralph Pearson, his father, Mother Ken and Doris Pearson, and he's putting fine young black through the university down there. The orphan just got engaged now with a Norwegian girl up at Wallace, and I was wondering when he went up there, how would it be? Is it wrong or not? And we've got that now. We haven't had anything going wrong. It's a very gracious, wonderful person. And we have one of our interns up here right now, an intern over in Everett, who just stayed up for a weekend. I gave it to him for a wedding present when he got ready to marry. I already told him because I was instrumental in talking him into the Lutheran Church and coming over to America. Going to St. Olaf's, going to seminary. I carried him. He's a very overflowing guy with a lot of warmth to him. And I met up with him when he was in this, he actually was heading up this group in Germany, the navigators, what they call them, navigators. I'm trying to get that word for you. They are a person-to-person witnessing group amongst the armed forces. They originally started in the Navy and also went over to the army. But there are places where we certainly can be scored for our want of identity with our little culture. We are here where God put us. A lot of people would refuse to give us money because we are so far off. And it looks like it's a little bit crazy. This is true for all of my wealthy friends who've been in my parish and so on. None of them have given us money. And they all think it's crazy. This is just way off. People in Washington want to find they can have it. comparison, I was surprised we had three times more new gifts from Minnesota than we did from Washington. So obviously, there's a, there is need in this area, at least in our ALC, because these are majority of the problems. A real leadership here in the area of leadership. And I think soldiers, qualified soldiers, would do this.
All three senators have now cut their support, is that correct?
Yes, the ALC is withdrawn entirely. Missouri Senate has had a rough go, and we've never known whether we'd get that money or not, frankly. Some years we did, some years we don't. This year we've gotten 1,500, if I see any more, up to 3,000, if it comes, I'll be very happy. They say they don't know whether they're gonna keep on or not. The reason why they will keep on, I think, is because we don't have 10 people from the Missouri Senate supporting this. And there has to be an end to something that ridiculous, you know. If they decide officially to withdraw their support, I'd have to say that we can hardly expect that they should have a one-third, one-third, one-third relationship here. Because it would be silly. But we've borne with them, there's been real patience. The ALC has not been any time missed by their attitudes towards them, which they certainly could be. Because, I mean, actually, they do not recognize them as existing as Christians, you know, in an ego-technical way. Could be difficult. I'm actually a member of the board that's been most vocal from the LCA. He's a terrific guy. He's an oral surgeon, I guess they call him, or something, over in Mount Vernon by the name of Bill Peel, a grand guy. And outspoken, says what he thinks, puts his money where his mouth is, and he's that kind of guy. We are a guy connected to the board at the time on the board because he feels like men do live today who get $29,000 a year. And he feels the village should be living the same way, and I have sometimes some difficulty, but I think sometimes he's been right and I've been wrong. No one has been unhappy that we stuck a lot of money in the kitchen. I wanted to keep one of the old stoves at least because it was working fine. Had one oil, one electricity, and those things cost, you know, something like $6,000 a piece. And just soon pulled on. We did argue out of one thing we didn't put in for that center ventilator. It still isn't stainless steel. That's a regular thing.
Well, the whole good ventilating system is $1,700.
Yeah. Once in a while, I would, like I told you, we probably be able to do this well at home, not the rest of the school. Those are them, but he's really good. I told him sometimes, if I were putting into this all he does in terms of time and interest and money and sit there and let us out, sometimes the outer argument, I'm voted by fellows, all they're putting in is their time on the board. I wouldn't be as genial as he is. And a great representative from the West Coast. And so the other fellows have seen this from the other areas and themselves come to see that this is crazy. The board ought to represent the constituency. Those who love this place should have the ones who are on the board. And Jeff, now this is the first meeting of Bruce and Bill Dirks, a pastor from Seattle and a terrific guy, and we abused it on this board. And immediately, and at once, they were with it. They were giving good judgment, you know, on all the issues. They knew what the village was, what it was trying to do, what happened to people here, and so they could form a judgment. And it was really interesting listening to them, because this is the first board meeting, Bruce were here, and I don't think Larry is, at which, for instance, this one particular person contributed quite a good deal at this board meeting. But it's the first board meeting I can remember that Kaiser's opened as well. So this is his fifth year. So, well, it's taken that long to feel like he knows enough about it to be able to say something, you see. And, his brother came up here last fall, the Missouri Senate pastor's brother's a pastor in Seattle. He's in charge of program now for this year on the Missouri Senate meeting. He was quite surprised and shocked that we had inside plumbing up here. He thought it was all outside the tunnel. Well, when the brother of a board meeting has got that idea about us, you can imagine all the communication.
Set some of these pictures around there.
Sure, the firehouse, I'm sure. But you take a fellow like, I think another thing that's convinced the board is another one who's a Missouri Senate member on the board. And that's Jerry Dolan. You couldn't imagine a more fascinating board member than Jerry. He represents Portland. He's opened up Portland for us. And we got into Portland through the Missouri Senate. We've always had St. Luke down there fighting for us in the ALC with a lot of people up here, both adults and young adults, but they didn't have much influence on anybody else. It was the Watson Parish over there. And we've always had the pastor Billy says, I have nothing to do with this, I have, I think the church shouldn't be in the business of occupation, et cetera, see, this is his attitude toward it. And now we see it quite. And the former LC down there, as those of you know from come from the area, there was real tensions because ULC had some strength in that area that they didn't have up here in Seattle area and in Puget Sound. And this came into their merger pictures and the old Adams Hall and the church was operated there. I still think they have a tough time feeling that they're one church visiting the ALC. But the Missouri Synod there, if you're not, even though their college will not allow me to talk at it, I can't get anything there because they're, see, this is, all these constitutions were put up a few years back. They have Methodists in their chapel, they have Baptists, they have Roman Catholics, but the Constitution says that no Lutheran of any other synod may ever speak in this chapel. Well, I never thought of them as being non-Lutherans. They didn't put that in the Constitution. So it's been an embarrassment to them, but they offer their gym to us for a lot of people down there. It's very friendly and college. But this, I'm telling you, this is just how, when we're operating with three synods that have friction elsewhere, we're going to inherit some of them here and have to deal with them. And this we have done. And we have been very much a part of knitting the church together out here, as we all know. And you can't have laymen come from these various synods and get acquainted with each other up here, learn to love and appreciate each other, and then go home and continue fighting each other. It just can't be done. And this is, of course, what the village does for them. And some people don't want this to happen, but they simply don't. Some of them, unfortunately, are in positions even of power. I have asked and have been refused position from the president of the Missouri Synod for this particular area to just be at their conventions. I didn't ask to speak. I just asked for permission to be there. And if anybody wanted to ask me questions around the halls, he could. I could hand off my information from the phone, and he refused permission for me to be present within the confines of the convention itself. So this is the thing. That's where it sits. Everybody who's in Church Missouri Synod is a pastor knows this. And as he said in his letter back to me, when you've proven that you're really Lutheran up there, that maybe there's something we have to have proven that.
Does the board work mostly on the physical aspect of board and then you directly on the program?
No, they do all of it. The reason why I have some people on my faculty is because the board itself has asked them certain people beyond. They have jurisdiction over everything, both program and the place, and personnel. I mean, not least the concern here that we have is the leadership of this place and so on. The board determines that. The board succeed me. This is a real function that they offer. And that's why these youth men want to stay on the board. Each of them have got their fellows that they'd like to have succeed, And that's not where they want to stand, even though they're not going to support it anymore. And they put enough money into it, as far as I'm concerned, so they have a perfect right to be here and, relate this to the establishment that much that they're on.
How much of their time is actually involved in the program? I imagine the majority of it is in the physical aspect.
Well, they're here, yes. But we've had special meetings where it's been otherwise. That we had a lot to do. After all, once you set the program, there's a bunch you've got to talk about as you want to change it.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of what my question is. The program been basically the same for the last five
years. Yes, we have changed in our basic commitment here, what we're doing. The only change of direction was this last summer, and that took up the deal of the argument at the board, and that came up after I'd set my agenda. And that's where we had the Washington parole officers write us a letter and ask if there were a possibility of using Holden Village for a sort of halfway house, send people here who otherwise would be sent to prisons. And these would be the kids from 12 through 17, that particular age. And I once felt this was a strong possibility because there's some great people here right now. Wes knows how to work with these people. Our cook and carpenter, Gene and Walt Gerringer, have been working with these kids over in Everett, the home we had over there before they got gone because they didn't have their college degrees for working with these. There are one or two more people. Franz and Elsie don't have children and again have real warmth and they have a good work group here that would work well. So I was quite much for it except for the one reservation I had, which the board fell to, and this comes into program. What happens to our freedoms? When the should they say, well, we okay you, but first you have to put in heating equipment into the, this village center? We'd have to say who's putting the money up for that, the state or us. We don't need it for our operation. We want it for yours, you see. Or we'll okay if you put in a lathe over in the workshop. And we say, well, we really don't need the lathe for our operation, but if it's just fine, you put up the money. Or do we know these are the things we have to have open for discussion? Because we have said that we would not put in a school because this we can't do. We can't put in a high school, but we can offer certain things for which they could get credit in a high school. No, we've got the arts going up here after all, and there's some other areas we could do something. And that's why it sits at this moment. But they came up, and all of these men came up from Eastern Oregon, the parole officers, you know, from south of Spokane, and different, you know, all the different people that are involved with this problem, and were very, very enthusiastic about really this operation. It couldn't be this with volunteer help functioning with this kind of an organization. So that way we're very happy. But that's still up in the air, and it's a question of what finally comes. Now, instead of the original $400 a month for each boy that the state allowed, the way it's coming out at this moment is that if we were okay, it'd be $240. And that doesn't give you much leeway for any help in working with them. So then we'd have to know where does, you know, if we need extra help or help, where does that come from? But I think it's a possibility for us to look at. We have, I was with this Fox Lake prison in Wisconsin, and he said he was writing his friends who are wardens out here of the Washington prison, because I have tried to get them to use this like we use this area there for, you know, prisoners who are actually in this life and so on. But during November, we have nothing going up here. Nobody comes at all. The place is fantastically lovely. It's not cold. It's like living in a winter cave. It's just beautiful. You can walk right over the snow barefoot over to the therapy pool and out of it again. Really, it's that beautiful. And we could fill it in November to our capacity as for handling that, and they're helping along with it, with regular adult prisoners having an opportunity outside the prison in a fellowship together. Now, I was with a group like this from Fox Lake Prison in Pentecost weekend. Came in, we started it Friday afternoon at 4, and we ended Sunday afternoon. I left Sunday. I don't think I was in bed more than a few hours in that whole period. They didn't go to bed at all. No, it was a chance to be outside the prison walls. They couldn't wait to hire us. We were out by a little late. But we had their guards with us. Their wardens were with us. I didn't know who were which. But these were men, generally trustees, I suppose. But some of them were men who often try to cop the Kenosha members. One seldom, but it wasn't gone. But they were tremendous in their response to this. And I think we'd be so here. It was fantastic. I have never in my life, my whole fellowship with the Christ people, had such a response. I mean, it was simply a total response. Some were baptized who hadn't been baptized, all came to Holy Communion. They hugged each other and wished each other the peace of God as they were going back, and were thinking, boy, I haven't got a long enough stretch left to do all the things I got left to do, you know. And it was simply unbelievable. We had about 120 prisoners, and then some ex-cons and wardens and so on. But that number worked out beautifully here. So when I was installed here, I did have the people in charge of the prisons in Washington were up here for my installation, and we had already approached them on this. It was Gil's idea, too. This is one thing we could do here. So in the fall, you couldn't run away from here. I mean, goodness, you could track them down in minutes through the snow, you know. Fresh snow and soft and back, you know, how far would they go? The ideal security situation, and yet with freedom. Well, that's one of the possibilities that, you know, we're up there. They've had a lot of notions of what to do with the board, and the board has discussed them, and they're there for the historian to look at. They thought, for instance, one summer maybe we should have only preachers up there, just work with preachers. And a number of things like that, but what you forget when you sit on the board and discuss it is how do you communicate this? How do you promote it? How do you secure response? And the best thing to me seemed to be to do what you're doing, where we are just as the parish is for all ages, you know, for all relationships. But accenting the summer, we're going to be largely family kind of retreat with young adults shaping it up. And with some teenage groups in now, we have three years ago next summer, we had our first non-LCA high school group in. The reason I say non-LCA is because the LCA gave their support through offerings by the high school kids. So the high school kids putting their actual money into this, and that was $7,500 a year. And I felt they deserved to get something back from that. So we took what groups were interested in coming. There weren't many, but it was Diamond Lake and in Minneapolis and Advent and North St. Paul. The center group had a great time. In fact, I'll never forget the year when Fritz Rowald, who was then governor, was there, so he's an old friend of mine. I did a speech for him in college, and we were classmates the same year. And his daughter was up here, and that was when the Farmer Labor Party kicked him out. She was here that week when that news came through the floor. I could tell her, as I could, that one of the fine men in our State Department, who was a great spirit, Munson, his name is, had told me when he was a reporter for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, how impressed he'd been with Fritz's humor, fairness, graciousness, and his complete lack of using his position to play politics. I said, this is what's caught your dad out. And he's been pumped. I said, I'd be surprised if in the final run, things could be a lot different since that team. They get his comeuppance, and it knocked him off. But we had a good time with his daughter, a real reflective person, great. And she was only sophomore. So it isn't the age, time you are, but the kind of reflectiveness that makes you respond to this place. Well, one ALC group played to take them, and Daryl went over and met with them twice. I talked with long distance, and finally decided, okay, since this was their situation, they were sending 5 busloads of kids to the Seattle Convention between these two churches. These two churches are a half block apart. Each of them has over 5,000 members. It's First and Grace Lutheran of Eau Claire. Said, we've got some reflective kids that don't want that mass experience. They want to go to Holden Village. They're willing to join in with you in the thinking and discussion and come and participate. They would provide a little program too, and just ask for the privilege of being there for a week. Oh, we've got, he isn't here right now, but he's here for a while. One of the men to deal with, some of these men are from Eau Claire right now, some of them are retired. They had a tremendous, and we had a tremendous. It was a good thing. We realized this is crazy, just simply shutting high school kids out. You know? We do from the work groups, as you know. We have to be 18 to get on the work group. That's I think the group is got to get out of high school. And with the girls, generally speaking, as you girls know, if you haven't graduated from college, it's pretty hard to get on. You've got to be at least an upperclassman. And for the girls to get in, simply because we have so many applications. But participation in the village at that level. Now, it interested me that the only time I feel we sinned against the number in here by having more, we have 40, is sort of our outside number that we allow. But the Detroit Expo, as they call it, was in the youth convention, LCA forward, because there were so few high school kids interested in going to the meeting. So they were only having 3,000 there. I'm shocked. You know, August Anderson had a limit that gives to 17 years of age. Remember, they had a convention that you had to be 17 to go to. And they had over 3,000 there. That was August Aniston. Now, from the whole room in Pennsylvania, in the LCA, you couldn't get 3,000-year-olds. It was quite a shock, I think, to everybody. They get 3,824, some of 42, some of that, if I had signed up, but they couldn't run a convention. Actually, it would just look silly. Auditorium seats, 14,000, so on, so they can't. And they'll be 3 years paying that off, because conventions cost a lot of money before you have them. So there were very unhappy people, very disgruntled, and Elam up in Robbinsdale called first of all, asked for their group to come and said, fine. You'll come a different meet than Expo. Finally ended up taping California. Their group, everyone in the company, we asked them to try to keep it below 70 if they could. And I think they got 74 or something.
With the adults.
How many were here?
74 with the adults.
74.
There were about 12 adults.
Yeah, we asked for 60 kids, and then the rest, I think the 14 were bystanders. So it worked out fine. But the problem was, you see, we had some others already that we'd agreed to under that 40. One of them, a group of 12, was late, and it interests me their reaction. They said, we'd rather be there when it isn't so much like a sort of glorified Bible camp. There were too many high school kids. High school kids talking. They'd rather be there when it's the whole age spectrum. And I think this is very true. And I think to turn this into a high school kind of programming and answering them for Dave, we'd never do. that much from the director of the meeting, since we're no age in the kingdom, and that's part of it. And by having 40 high school kids here, for the teenage kids of parents, you know, we have no gripes from any of them if their kids are 15 and older now. There's nothing wrong with Paul. We still have some gripes from Paul. The fact that it takes them a little longer to find their peers involved. And I think this is true. On the other hand, we have resisted both as a board and the management on offering a program for all ages. You know, this is the whole people of God, and there's no age in the kingdom. And these kids catch on sometimes much faster in some of these areas of debate than their parents. And they certainly have fewer prejudices than they've got there. I just got a letter yesterday saying that when Willie's daughter went into the pool, you know, that cute little pigtail gang and gal, and she went down the therapy pool, the others all went. That should happen here.
When they had been spirit, you had a high school program, you'd have to have more people to come out with.
They just do not, I mean, in a smaller group of 40, there wasn't much. This year, we need, Harvard will better manage it, but Harvard's closer to that than that, but I have not been aware of any business problem. Have we had any?
Been a few, but.
No.
Small percentage.
Last year, we were lower. Up here, as we get back up here, or electric, and we had some groups of teens that went to next to nothing. We had a little of that this year, too, I think, from some of them. But they went to what they wanted to, and they realized it wasn't between the buttons of the situation.
I think that, really, their advisorship and English program
for them. I tell them this, I expect them to provide Bible studies for them appropriate to their age level. But now next year we will have, I think, a better Bible study for now. And I have no apologies for my own, and I know that I am a spiritual teacher, some know both our church and outside our church. I have no apologies here, no false modesty, but I'm not putting a pitch to that particular post-conference in my Bible study. I am putting a pitch to a family type, and they're with it on that, but it can't be directed specific to them, and some of my materials that I've done in my life have been directed specifically to them. Well, next year, learn more. I've asked them to come up during July this year for 4 weeks, being his own way this year, just for his own spiritual growth. And he really took, because it's just his only known as this guy, he's our president of Texas, of the ELC, he's a great spirit. This is wonderful. And he agreed to come up and have a family type of Bible study that I think will be more simple than the kind I have, and more effective for that earlier teenager. Thank you for saying that. I think it must be a God of the Roman heart. She thought better by the dazzle last night, too. She thought, yeah, I'm so much sold on this that in my parish, at one time, I used to complain that I preach over their heads, and I said, over your heart, not over your head. Your heart's with us, your head's going to reach for it. But up here, our letters that we do get are overwhelming in Europe or your city. One cute one that came from an electrician in North Chicago. He said, I had rather reach for 10% of what I understood from those guys than understand 100% from all the people I've been hearing. He says, what an exciting place to come, you know. And he says, I never felt embarrassed that all I had was a high school education. He says, I could ask any question, nobody made fun of me. He says, it was great. Well, this was true until we've got one person that can't get out of her classroom kind of teacherishness. And she's a she gives a little admission. She was great last summer. Roman Catholic, not the first one to vote. But this summer she did call me here when I was in here, a bunch of provincials. The last time that happened was from Bill Lazarus, of all things, in his very first lecture on some of you were here at the time on, I think we weren't here that summer, Bill was here. We started off, you know, sort of the man from Philadelphia said all of us, you know, Midwest farmers and Pacific Coast pies and straight. And people sat there listening to this about 40 minutes, and I didn't, and finally I just interrupted and I said, Bill, who are you talking to? Like, no, because this is the audience you got here, and we'd like to get the lecture you got for our audience. congregation belong to a church, much less belong to it. So we've got areas out here where 17 is a good percentage of that many that belong to the church. I said, to go to church out here is an act of courage. Real heroism on the part of some kids. Their parents cut off their lawns, in fact, they kick them out of church. Their own house reminded church. And we had some of them sitting in the audience that morning. You know, talk about being pietistic. You know, this area is something that be related even in an external sense. The real witness. Back in Minneapolis, we don't go to church. It doesn't mean too much one way or the other, but you just expect they're going to be, and quite often kind of going to the mark. It isn't true here. Well, we've had this problem from the East occasionally. And the two props who got caught out with her that night were identified, were both missed by this, and I said, I had this hint that this wires meant from the East business. Kind of got under my craw too. Well, of course it's easier.
Biggest single
Dental College, like, for the super 6 years of operation, they didn't have geologists at the elementary school. No, this is all over, and I think we're pretty much past that, you know, no one's arguing in this side with anything, any conviction at all. So, this aspect of the tension, now, this is still true, I think, the second year we're here, because Phil mentioned all, when Dick Lukey was here, we really had this week pretty much on this, but still has some real fire intensity right now, that's pretty much over. This moment, I would say maybe the biggest issues are sociological from this, and that's the black problem, Indian poverty, relationship of government to this, of church to it, of the establishments as such, of ourselves as individuals, this is where a lot of it comes, where are we at? It's been a tremendous thing for me, even without a black on the faculty, for instance, like last year, Elmer crossed up Paul Fanning here one night, these are both names that we all know are with it, Elmer would love this from Missouri Synod, but with it from the beginning, he's got his money in. Paul Fanning not only got his money, he's got more money than anybody else, and Paul was arguing, well, what can I do in this black problem? Here I sit, see, so. And Elmer is always very blunt, right, he had his fist practically down Paul's throat on this thing that went on. Of course, Paul likes us too, everyone really loves us, but he's a guy who disagrees hardly with me on some issues that I think are extremely important up here, but he never denied me a dime because of his disagreement. But as they were going on like this, finally, he convinced them. He had to go back to Santa Monica where he lives, and he was on one of the important committees building a huge high rise there. So he fought to get open housing for this high rise. And he really fought for a few years home in January when he lost the battle. And when he lost the battle, then he resigned immediately from all these prestige committees of Santa Monica in protest. And he refused to be identified with this kind of a white prejudice of this hour in our nation's history. Now he said, when he was up here, what good could he do, and so on. He felt this didn't do any good, but at least he'd done what he could do. But you know all this does. This thing doesn't happen in 1 month or 6 months, but that thing is really working in the rest of it, you know. And it'll come around.
Did you have any chance to detect any change in attitude or philosophy of this man Willie after his experience here?
Yes, I think so, to this extent that he felt it. But like I mentioned, even up here, his little daughter gets into this therapy pool, you know, and they all leave. You know.
Well, he's used to that.
Yeah, I know. No, he felt very much a warmth and acceptance and an openness, and really loved us, and that we loved him, and that we could, that in this whole, what he still cannot see structure, this is where he's off. So they get the power, therefore does the judgment come for them? You know, who's our power? How could they within their movement, you know? Anybody who gets hold of power is just as wrong as the other guy who had it, you know? And this he doesn't see, and I would say still he doesn't see structure. Got sort of this messianic black complex at this point. And Marty Martin brought this very pointedly to him from his own Missouri Synod group in the discussion. But I think, again, this is when Vaughn Perkin and Willie, he knows all the problems they got in their own movement because he had to go out every once on an emergency to deal with some internecine fighting. He had a, he never ever played for the audience, never asked for quarter himself. He never showed a moment's rancor. There were a few blasts of anger, and they were like this, and they were over. He was cool, he was less prejudiced than I am. I mean, I have some bitterness in my spirit on the guys will be